Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there on this somewhat cold Sunday. I'm thankful that you have tuned in. Hopefully, you are warm where you are and are doing well. Take your Bibles with me this morning. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, a typical passage that we would go to on Mother's Day. And I would like to read, starting in verse number 10 all the way down through verse 31. All the messages today will be about moms and Mother's Day as we honor moms today. And so here, Proverbs chapter 31, let me also encourage you to keep track of our website. Continue to log on to the website, not only for prayer requests so you can pray for each other, but also so you can get any updates in regards to the opening of the church. I don't know how close we are to that, closer every day, obviously, but I know our deacons have been meeting together and talking about and looking at how to do it, when to do it, how to do it safely, who to listen to, who not to listen to, and they've been doing a lot of work, a legwork on that particular topic and trying to make sure we can get back as soon as we can, but stay safe in that whole process. So I appreciate them and the work that they're doing here in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, starting verse 10. I'll have you follow along as I read this morning. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruits of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, it is so good to be here this morning, Lord, to be with your people, even though via internet, via this form, this median of the computer, and having to watch it and listening to it on a phone or a computer. But Lord, I'm thankful for those who are tuning in right now. And Lord, I pray your blessing on them. Lord, I pray your protection for them. Lord, I pray that you would use this message to encourage them. Lord, as we think on moms today, as this is Mother's Day, Lord, I pray that you would bless moms. Lord, I'm thankful for my godly mother. Lord, I'm thankful for my godly grandmother. I'm thankful for the heritage that I have. And Lord, I'm thankful for my godly wife, who is an amazing, amazing woman, amazing mother to my children. And Lord, I am so blessed to have her. Lord, I pray your blessing on the reading of your word and now on the preaching thereof, and we'll thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as you know, today is Mother's Day, the day when families pay special tribute to their moms in various ways. We may take them out to dinner, although this year that'll be very hard to do. Probably many of you have bought them a special item. Again, this year it may be a little more difficult to do. But the sad thing is that oftentimes Mother's Day is really just a time when families try to atone for an entire year of neglect and disrespect and for a lack of appreciation. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. Now, most people agree, whether they're Christian or not, that we are living in a post-Christian era. That doesn't mean that the church is dead or that Christianity is dead. What it means is that the influence that biblical Christianity once had on our nation and our culture has diminished to a point where it wouldn't be recognized by Christians 100, maybe 200 years ago. And that includes morality, that includes education, that includes social action, and maybe, most importantly, parenting. Basically, what's happened is that secular humanism, their reasoning has taken the place of biblical truth when it comes to setting the parameters for the home, setting the parameters for what a family is like. By contrast, a Christian should be one who sees the home. A Christian should be one who sees marriage and parenting as framed within the parameters of God's infallible and authoritative word, the Bible. And I'm so thankful that God has given us everything we need for faith, what we believe, and practice how to live. And that includes the home and what the home is to look like. That includes parenting and what parenting is to look like. That includes the role of father and mother and children and what those roles are to look like. The truth of God's Word should not only shape our belief and practices in all areas of life, but they're absolutely that guidelines that should guide us through our life. And so our opinions, our beliefs, are only legitimately Christian, hear this, to the degree they line up with the Word of God. The problem is that today our minds have been darkened by secularism and sin. And a lot of people can't tell if something is biblical or secular, and they can't discern between the two. We expect that from the world. We expect the world to change their standard depending upon the latest research. We expect the world to change their standard depending upon what the newest, brightest psychologist thinks. I often equate it to this whole idea of dieting. You go back 5 years, we shouldn't eat, and you can fill in whatever it is because it's bad for you. And then a couple years later, we should eat because the new research shows this, this, and this. And then wait a couple more years, and now you can't eat it again because now it's bad again, and it flip-flops and it changes, and you get all sorts of views. We should have high carbs, low carbs, high sugar, low sugar. We should go all meat. We should go no meat, and the various degrees within there. It changes all the time. It changes all the time, but the Word of God is settled. The Word of God is secure. The Word of God sets a standard that will never change. It's always right to live according to the Word of God. It's always right. What was wrong before is still wrong today, and it's going to be wrong forever. What was right yesterday will still be right today, and will still be right tomorrow. And so we see that in the Word of God. We expect the world to change their focus, but we're actually seeing the same thing within the church as well. And that's the sad thing. That's the scary thing. The trend that we're seeing in the church is that people in the church are acknowledging the sufficiency of God. They acknowledge the sufficiency of the Bible, but they fail to see a need to subject their own personal opinions, their reasonings, and their emotions to the guidelines of Scripture in all areas of their life, including, especially, what happens in the home. We read something like Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. And we think that only applies to our moral behavior, but not to things like marriage, not to things like raising kids. Instead, we leave those things to the pop psychologist and the talk show host. But all our relationships should be directed by the truth of Scripture, whether it's education, whether it's finances, whether it's political involvement, whether it's our job, our marriages, or how we raise our children. Having said that, I want to look at this passage here in Proverbs chapter 31, these verses from 10 down to verse 31. Now, before I get into this passage, there's two points of, if you would, random knowledge. Verse 10 through verse 31 are an alphabetic acrostic in Hebrew. In other words, it's the literal Hebrew language, or in the literal Hebrew language, each letter begins with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet in order. So for us, it would start with the letter A, the first verse, second letter B, third verse C, but they did that in the Hebrew alphabet, in the Hebrew language. Isn't that cool? Secondly, the word or phrase that's translated here, virtuous, literally means strength and valor, and in all ways, excellent. Throughout the Word of God, it is translated different ways, this word. It's translated as able or capable. It's translated with the idea of strength. It's translated with the idea of valiant. So it has a little different translation depending on the context that it's found. But all of that really goes into this word of virtuous. Virtuous. Basically, it refers to, if you study the word of it, it refers to a moral strength, integrity, and efficiency. Moral strength, integrity, and efficiency. Now, as we look through these verses, we can get a good understanding what the writer means by the word virtuous. I see five qualities that are in these verses. Now, there may be more to that, but I see five. The first one, if you look at verse 11, verse 12, and verse 23, the first one you'll see is that a virtuous woman is trustworthy and devoted. She's trustworthy and devoted. You see, she has her husband's confidence. She has his trust completely in her. Why? Because she's proving herself trustworthy. And that which is her job to do, and that which has been delegated to her to take care of, she has been trustworthy. And she, and I love this, enhances his reputation. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Oftentimes my wife will go shopping and she'll call me and say, hey, I found this, this, and this. Should I get it? And I often will say, you know what, I don't know, but my heart to safely trust in you. If you think we need it and can afford it, honey, you get it. I trust your judgment because you have proven trustworthy. Honey, when you're out there, and we often discuss larger items that we would purchase between the two of us. Do we need it? Can we afford it? Can we do it a different way? Whatever. But often, I will tell her, honey, if you think we need it, my heart trusts in you. Go ahead and do it. And that's the idea here, because her focus and my wife's focus, and by the way, I found a virtuous woman. Your pastor's wife, Mama G, Mrs. Gordon, Angie, however you want to refer to her, is a virtuous woman, and I'm very thankful for that. But her focus is on making me successful. Her focus is on doing me good and not evil all the days of her life. I love this about her. I love verse, if you want to look at it, verse number 23. Look down to verse number 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. How is it that her husband is known in the gates? Isn't this talking about a virtuous woman? Surely he is doing something remarkable, isn't he? And the answer is no. He's sitting in the gates and he's known among the elders. Why? Because of the faithfulness, because he has a virtuous wife. A virtuous wife will make her husband successful. The most important person in this relationship really is her. I've watched pastors my whole life, and I've interacted with them. I can tell you a lot about a church. I can tell you a lot about a ministry by showing me a pastor's wife. This ministry has been blessed for the last 15 years because you've had a virtuous woman as my wife. She's made me successful. She's made me successful. So first of all, she has her husband's confidence and she enhances his reputation. Number two, the second quality that I see is this. She's a woman of diligence and wisdom. We see that in verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. You see, she's not afraid to work. She's a wise shopper. She plans ahead. Here's a woman of diligence. She's always busy doing something, and a woman full of wisdom. Number three, she is a giving person. She's a giving person. Verse 20 says that she extends her hand to the poor. In other words, she has planned ahead well enough to be able to not only take care of the family needs, but also the needs of the poor around her. Number four, she's dependable. She's dependable. We see that verse 15, verse 21, verse 27. When adversity comes, whether it's snow, like it's supposed to snow today on Mother's Day, or something else, you know she's already got a plan to deal with whatever it might be. And I will just say this, my wife is not praying for snow right now, so you can't blame her for this snow if it actually does snow here. Obviously, I'm recording this before Mother's Day, but if it's supposed to snow on Mother's Day, if it does, it's not my wife's fault, so don't blame her. But number five, and lastly, she's a woman who loves the Lord. We see that by reading all of the verses of our text. She's a woman who loves the Lord. She's someone who is guided and directed by God's wisdom. She's someone who's guided and directed by the very Word of God. Now, ladies, you might read through this and say to yourself, that isn't describing a woman, that's describing a superwoman. And you're absolutely right. That's a pretty good assessment. Many say that this is not just a single lady, but it's qualities and characteristics of many women. But this is describing a woman or women who are living in a supernatural way because they're serving a supernatural God and His power is flowing through them. Where do they get the wisdom? How is it that they can submit even to sometimes a prideful, hard-hearted husband? How is it they can make husbands successful? Because guys, let's just admit that often we're successful because of them and in spite of us. Well, it's because they've submitted to the Almighty God. Ladies, you have such power over your homes and the way that you submit to God and allow God to work in you and work through you. It has to be that way because there are few things that are more important to society than godly women or godly mothers. The Bible is clear in its teaching, both explicit and implicit, that the family is the foundation of society. Now, fathers, dads, husbands are responsible for the way the family goes. But mothers are the glue that holds the family together. And so since moms are so important to the family and society, I want to really quickly look at some of the problems that they face so that the rest of us can show appreciation this Mother's Day. Not just today, my prayer is every day of the year. First of all, guys, children, husbands, we need to look at motherhood and femininity with respect. Now, I said the word femininity, not feminism. Okay, the Bible warns us over and over again about the anti-Christian forces that are constantly at work to get us to adopt the values and the attitudes of this world. But again, Romans 12 tells us that we're not to be conformed to this world's pattern. We are to be transformed. Well, we aren't supposed to be shoved in the mold the world has for us. Let me just be blunt and tell you what I mean by that. Motherhood is more important than having a career. I'm not saying that women can't do both. I'm just saying that it's important they understand which one is more important. Motherhood. Your number one responsibility as a mom is to not your children, but your husband. And then to your children. Obviously, your ultimate responsibility is to God. But after God, it's your husband. Ladies, let me encourage you. Spend time with your husbands. Let me encourage you, be a wife first, because that makes you a better mother. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, "This know also that in last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Now you notice what Paul was saying here. He told Timothy that dangerous or perilous times are coming. And I believe we're living in those last days. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. People will be lovers of pleasure. The two things that it says there, for men shall be lovers of their own self, and then it describes them, but lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, there in verse number 4. So they'll be lovers of themselves and they'll be lovers of pleasure. They'll be boasters. They'll be pride. They'll be blasphemers. They're the sins of pride and loving oneself, disobedient to parents, and unthankfulness come from a sense of over-exaggerated self-worth. It goes on, but this is the world that we live in currently, and I'm here to tell you it's only going to get worse. And so what do you think this does to specifically a woman, a wife, and a mother, who by the very nature of her creation is geared to needing love, who needs affection, who needs reassurance? What does it do when the husband loves himself more than his wife? What does it do when a husband loves pleasure more than his wife? You see, Satan's first attack was against the wife, and it immediately affected the home. He still attacks us today, including moms, including wives. But then you couple that with the fact that people today, sometimes husbands, sometimes children, are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, dealing with the wicked sin of pride. Kids are disobedient to parents. People are unthankful and unloving. And these humanistic, unbiblical ideas and beliefs and behavioral patterns affect the family. They affect the home, and especially mom, because she's the keeper of that home. Now, those of us who are husbands and fathers, we need to take note of this, because even though our wives are to be the keepers of the home, we're supposed to hear this, be the protectors of the home. In other words, we shouldn't allow these sorts of things to infiltrate our homes and our lives and the lives of our families. We can't do a whole lot about what goes on in the world around us, but we can make sure that it's not infiltrating our homes. It's more than just going out and earning a living and bringing home a paycheck, guys. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands, love your wives. How? "Even as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it." For what? Not for a job. not for financial security. He didn't give himself to a ball team. He didn't give himself to a car. He didn't give himself to any of those things. He gave himself for his bride, for his wife. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. This passage clearly says that husbands are the head of the house, but it also says that we are to love our wives, just as Jesus Christ loves the church. In other words, we are to love our wives how? Sacrificially. And let me just tell you, if we fail to love our wives like this, what we're doing is disobeying a commandment given us from God's word. We're distorting the picture that marriage provides of Christ and the church to the world in which we live. Now, I preached a couple Sundays ago about COVID-19 and the judgment of God. And remember where it always starts? It always starts in the house of God. Well, I want to take that one step further. It starts with the people of God. It starts in the house of God. You've heard the saying, as goes the home, so goes the church. And as goes the church, so goes the world. The world is in the condition it is because of the church, because of God's people and the way in which we live. The problem in the U.S. is not our political system. It's not the COVID-19. The problem in our society is not the liberals and not this party or that party. The problem in our church, or excuse me, the problem in our country is the church. And I'm here to tell you the problem in the church is the home. It begins in the home, and I'm here to tell you, mom and dad, especially dad, the problem is sitting at your feet, and you bear that burden. Is your home a picture of Christ in the church? Husbands, are you loving your wives like Christ loved the church? Children, are you obeying and honoring your mom and your dad like you ought to? Like you ought to. This passage is where that idea comes from. A Christian marriage is a picture of Christ and His church to an unbelieving world. And secondly, if we fail to love our wives like this, we sin against our wives. We sin against our children because our kids pick up our attitudes and our actions. Most of what we teach our children is not taught, it's caught. They watch and they see how we interact. They see the actions that we do or don't do. And they will follow us. Normally our actions. You've heard the saying, do as I say, not as I do. And unfortunately, that's the way it is in most homes. Let me ask you, Dad, do you want your young man, your son, to be the kind of father and husband you are? Would you be okay with that? Would that be all right? Let me ask you, would you want your young daughter, whom you love so much, to be married to someone just like you? Well, if the answer is no, then change. Then change. One thing that gets me kind of riled up is when mom is not respected. I remember in my home, the one and probably only time I talked back to my mom, my dad just about lost it. That's the closest I've seen him to losing it in my life. I understood very quickly that is his wife, that is his bride, that is his love. She is more important than me. And they brought me into the world and my dad was about ready to take me back out. My mom deserves respect. My mom deserves respect. Back to Proverbs 31. As you can see from our text, the demands on mothers are awesome. They include, even from our text, shopping for food and preparing meals, sometimes for very picky eaters, washing, ironing, house cleaning, caring for the needs, on and on. The list goes. And again, we look at the list and we go, and we think to ourselves, the lady that's doing all these things is probably a basket case. So, and the time I've got left, I want to quickly talk about how moms can handle all of this stuff without losing their minds. We've already touched on one important part, and that is the necessity of a loving husband and obedient children. Guys, to love your wife sacrificially means that you help out. It's not beneath you to do laundry. It's not beneath you to cook a meal. It's not beneath you to do the dishes. It's not beneath you to do some of those things. We need to help out at home. Mom's got a heavy load. That's one way we can help our wives by be this virtuous woman by helping out around the house. But secondly, and this one is on the wives and on the moms, and that is they need to have a right priority structure. In Luke chapter 10, the Bible says, it talks about Mary and Martha and Jesus. Remember the story? Jesus had come to their house, and Mary found the time to sit at Jesus' feet, to be near him and to learn from him, while Martha got involved in the busy work. And I'm here to tell you, there's always another load of laundry to do. There's always more dishes to wash. There's always more dust to wipe off and dirt on the floor to sweep up. There's always something to do at the house. Another drawer that needs straightened out. There's always something to do. Martha got involved in all that busy work. She found plenty of things to do so that she didn't have to get alone and be with Jesus. Now, that's kind of what's implied in that passage. Accurate, I don't know. But then she complained to the Lord about Mary's unwillingness to join her in her focus on doing and not being. I hope everyone realized that this is the same Mary that goes to the tomb, the first person to see the resurrected Lord. She was then commissioned to be the very first evangelist. Jesus told her to go and tell the others. And what we learn from that is that moms need to make Mary's priority their own priority. It doesn't mean that they ignore the other duties of motherhood. It means that they prioritize and have their priorities straight. On the flip side, mothers who end up making Martha's priority their own end up like Martha. They find themselves full of resentment, self-pity, and tension. Jesus himself took time to pray and to be alone with his heavenly Father. Moms, do you find yourself so busy that you don't take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words and take your burdens and your cares to him? The Bible makes it pretty clear that no wife or husband or mom or dad or child can be the kind of person that God has called them to be without God's help. In fact, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. You can do nothing. Now, let's look at the last two verses of Proverbs chapter 31, and then we'll close. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, the Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The woman who finds her value in her looks will either have so much plastic surgery and Botox that she'll end up looking like something out of a horror show, or she'll devalue her worth to the point of self-loathing. But the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The woman who fears the Lord doesn't have to toot her own horn, and she doesn't have to brag or boast about what she's accomplished. Her own works will praise her. People will see it. People will know. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. Her husband will praise her. Let me encourage you all you mom ladies out there this morning, God doesn't call you to be perfect. Aren't you thankful for that? He calls you to walk in His perfection. It's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. So take time to sit at Jesus' feet. Take time to get into the Word of God, to read it, to study it, to learn it, to memorize it. You do that, and before long, you'll find that you're living the Bible. Compare what God's Word says with what the world says. And if they differ, reject the world. Reject its point of view. Keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus Christ. Lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you, and run the race with patience. And God will bless. Ladies, it's more about being than it is about doing. You see, the beauty is that which is a reflection of Jesus Christ. It's not a weight, it's not a size, it's not a look. It's that beautiful fragrance, aurora, that comes from seeing somebody walking with God. Most important thing you can do, ladies, guys, to help with the craziness of life is spend time at Jesus' feet. Our gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for moms. Lord, I thank you for my wife. Lord, I'm thankful for my mother, my grandmother. Lord, these godly women, I thank you for the godly women here at Bible Baptist Church. Lord, I pray your blessing on each of them. And we'll thank you for what it is you'll do. It's in your name I pray. Amen.